Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. We are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Today, I'm excited to have back with us Dr. Jennifer Degler. You know, she's a renowned specialist in sexual health, and we are going to delve into the often overlooked issue of painful sex. Dr. Degler brings her wealth of expertise to the table, shedding light on the prevalence and emotional impact of sexual pain, especially among women. We explore various conditions that explain certain kinds of pain during sex and how to address them. She also highlights the emotional toll that painful sex can take, noting that, quote, many women suffer in silence, feeling isolated and ashamed, which only exacerbates the problem. Throughout our discussion, Dr. Degler underscores the significance of still pursuing intimacy in relationships despite these challenges. She explains that intimacy is not just about physical connection, it's about emotional closeness and understanding too. She offers hope and practical advice, encouraging couples to seek professional help and create safe spaces for expressing emotions. To learn more about Dr. Degler and all of her resources, visit jenniferdegler.com. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org, or we're going to put a lot of links in today's show notes to help you out. And of course, friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's get into today's hopeful and practical conversation with Jennifer. Well, all right, we've got back with us Dr. Jennifer Degler. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, you know, you've been on a handful of times before on the program, and I always personally love to have you on the program for several reasons. One is you are unafraid to go into all kind of aspects of just sexuality and sexual intimacy and marriage and all these aspects that sometimes people get frightened of, or they don't want to use the language in that space. And you're fearless in that. But the other thing I always love about having you on, Jennifer, is that you really bring the complex into an understandable space for people, and then offer really practical tips and advice and suggestions for how to improve in these areas of life. So I just want to say, I appreciate the way you approach this field of work and ministry.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. You ought to be my copywriter. That was so well said. I feel great about myself right now.
Good. Well, when this airs, you can just pull that little snippet out, use it however you want.
I will. Thank you. I appreciate your work. I refer a lot of people to your website, your podcast, and your work.
Well, thanks. Well, we are going to be diving into one of those areas in this conversation that some people just, they don't want to talk about. They certainly, those who are struggling in this area often find it very difficult to talk about. And that is the issue of when pain or when sex is painful. And we're going to talk about that from multiple levels. One is just when sex is physically painful, but also what is the emotional pain that sometimes comes in the whole area of sex and sexual intimacy? And so before we get started, this idea of sex being painful, how common do you think that is? Like, is this a fairly common issue with a lot of couples?
It absolutely is a common experience for women. I don't think it's as common for sex to be physically painful for a man, mm-hmm. but with a woman's physiology, it is very common. And the statistics that we have are not incredibly reliable just because of the nature. We're asking people to self-report, is this painful for you? We think at least 10%, maybe 15% of women have an actual diagnosable sexual pain disorder at some point in their life. So it's very common. And if you just speak with women and say, okay, has there been even a month in your life where sex was physically painful? They will say yes. I mean, so even if at the exact moment you ask somebody their sex is not painful, over a lifetime, it is actually very normal, very common for women to face pain during different sexual activities. The problem, Jonathan, is that we don't talk about it. And for many women, they think, okay, this is just what sex feels like, and I have to just kind of grin and bear it. And that will, it cannot help but eventually put out your sexual fire, because it hurts. If something continues to hurt, it is going to kill desire, and it will make your body over time begin to armor up, even at the thought of being sexually intimate with your husband.
What kind of, before we go any deeper, what kind of cognitive dissonance does that create in a woman who maybe, you know, growing up and dreaming of marriage and dreaming of Prince Charming and a relationship, and part of that thinking, boy, this moment of connection, this time that we can come together, and really, what does that do mentally when there's a disconnect there from what the expectations are around this very intimate act, and then what the reality is that there's pain involved?
Well, I think it depends on what you have come to believe and expect sex is going to feel like. And for many women, they have heard, okay, the first couple of times, first handful of times that you have intercourse, that it's going to hurt as the vagina, maybe there's a hymen still intact. And until the vagina gets used to this, it's going to hurt a little bit. So they're kind of already expecting this is not going to feel great at first. But then when it just continues to hurt, usually what a woman will do is think there's something wrong with me. Like for every other woman, this is like it looks like in the movies or what I've read about in books or what they're singing about in songs. So the fact that this is continuing to hurt, there's something wrong with me. And then it becomes something they're ashamed of, rather than seeing it as, oh, I have something physiologically is going on that needs to be addressed. If the pain was happening in another part of their body, if they were like, wow, every time I use this shoulder, it really hurts. At some point, they're going to go to the doctor and get that checked out, not just keep using that shoulder. But what happens with sex is a lot of times women just either keep doing it or just get to even a point where like, I'm not going to do this anymore, but I'm also not going to seek treatment for this. There's too much shame and emotional pain around the physical pain.
So where do you think that stigma kind of comes from? I mean, you mentioned the difference of like, hey, if my shoulder hurts, well, there's not a sense of a stigma to shame of going, oh my goodness, you've got a weak shoulder. You've got something wrong with your shoulder. You need to go see that. So what is the stigma that you think is attached to the sexual shame or whatever around the pain with sex?
I think it depends what you've been taught. For instance, for a while there in the 90s and early 2000s, as part of the purity culture, if you were raised with that in church, you got the messaging, if you will save sex for marriage, once the ring is on your finger, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so much better because you waited until you were married. And then let's say you get married and it's painful and it continues to be painful. Then all of a sudden it's like, I got sold a bill of goods. This is not what I was promised. And it can really do a number on your relationship with God, because you began to feel like this was something I was promised, even though that is never promised in God's word. But sometimes that can kind of be, that was kind of presented and promised as a way to try and keep young men and young women from being sexually active before marriage. And so that's part of the work that I've done with folks, is not only helping them deal with the physical sexual pain and emotional sexual pain, but sort through, what does this mean about me and my relationship with God? And then I just think as well, the way pornography has affected our culture. When you see pornography, these are women who look like they're not having any pain at all, unless it's some kind of pornography that's connected with physical pain intentionally. Or even just a movie or a romance book, whatever it might be. It's not it's you don't see in a movie. When have you seen in a movie where a woman had vaginismus or a woman was struggling with chronic yeast infections?
Yeah.
Or a tilt. When was the last time you heard about a tipped uterus in a book or a movie? You don't. And yet in real life, these are real things that people face that do affect the ability of their body to enjoy sexual intimacy.
Yeah. Or a movie where a man has erectile dysfunction or something, right? Yeah.
You're exactly. Just
everybody's virile and everybody's,
it's made a joke. Like for a man, erectile dysfunction is kind of presented as a joke in a movie, not like this is really a place of great emotional pain and confusion.
Right. Now, in our ministry, and even in the work that you do, we're dealing a lot of times with couples that they have faced a betrayal of some kind in that sexual relationship. And so that brings in a whole nother layer of pain around sex, which is the emotional pain, the emotional betrayal. So what are some of these, what are some of the ways in which emotional pain can be experienced in sex or even in trying to restore a relationship? And we'll get to in a little bit, we'll get to like, how do we start taking steps towards that? But what does emotional pain look like when it comes to sex?
Well, it's complex, Jonathan, because you can come into married sex and actually have a physiological condition that is going to make, for instance, intercourse painful for you. I mentioned like a tipped uterus, or maybe your tailbone curves up, or you have a lot of endometriosis, and so you're having pelvic pain with intercourse. So that's already there, and a lot of times you don't know that. You do not know that until you're trying to have intercourse. So then all of a sudden, there's like the pain and disappointment of this isn't what I thought it was going to be like. This is going to take some work. I'm going to have to consult with medical professionals. Maybe you don't even know about pelvic floor physical therapy. Is there even a person like that in your area? And then there is the frustration that you as a couple are feeling, and the conversations that you have or you don't have around the fact that sex is not going well, that there are tears involved with sex. And so by the time, a lot of times folks get to see me, or a woman might get to see a pelvic floor physical therapist, it's rare that they have a completely mentally, emotionally healthy relationship with their sexuality. Because the first time sex hurts, they don't go get it treated. This has usually been going on for a while. And so by the time they come to see me or a pelvic floor physical therapist, there is often a lot of hurt, a lot of confusion. Maybe there have been hurtful things said. What is the story? This is so important, Jonathan. What is the story that they, the husband and the wife, that they have been telling themselves about this physical pain? I've had people, the story they were telling themselves is that a woman might, I've heard women say, I wondered if this was God's punishment for me having an abortion.
Oh, wow.
Or this is God's punishment for me having sex before I got married. And so when all of the sudden we are telling ourselves a shame-filled condemnation story over physical pain that has a physical cause, now all of the sudden there's a whole nother level of work that we need to do. And the body will respond. So while the pain perhaps was already there due to physical causes, now all of a sudden the body is literally armoring up. You're tightening your muscles. We know for women, when you are, for instance, walking around, clenching your pelvic muscles all of the time, it causes them to be so tight that it is painful when you have sex. I know when there was a period in my life, sex was painful. It hadn't been painful for years. And all of a sudden it was painful more in my late 40s, early 50s. I finally called a friend of mine who's a pelvic floor physical therapist. And I said, okay, sex didn't used to be painful for me. It's painful now. I know you're my friend, but there are only two of you in Lexington. Could you see me and see a lot of me? And she was like, yes, I'll see you. But, you know, I've got a waiting list of a couple of months. Why don't you just tell me a little bit about what you're dealing with? And I explained it to her and I said, so I wonder, you know, now that I'm getting closer to 50, do I just need to do more Kegels? Maybe my pelvic muscles are weak. And she said, Jennifer, I think your issue is not that your muscles are too weak. I think you are walking around clenching your perineum and your butt muscles, in part because I have irritable bowel syndrome. So, you know, I'm kind of like concerned about diarrhea. This is, as you said, Jonathan, I am not afraid to go there. So we're just going to go there. This is a lot more than you ever wanted to know about me. And she said, why don't you try consciously as you go throughout your day, telling yourself, relax your pelvic muscles, relax them. So I was like, okay, because it's going to take 2 months before I can go see her. So I started doing that. And do you know, Jonathan, within 2 weeks, the pain was gone. And when I talked to her shortly after a couple of months, just to say, I really think you healed me with one phone call. And I'm going to cancel this appointment because I know you have a lot of women who want to get in to see you. And she laughed and she said, Jennifer, do you know what we call women like you in the pelvic floor field? We call you butt clenchers because you're walking around clenching your butt.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to start a band and I'm going to call it the butt clenchers. But it's such an example of, I've never had a conversation with another woman about this.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying, because sometimes, again, the self-diagnosis, the conversations within that couple, they can either be shame-filled. They can go to extremes.
Yes.
When it might be, there's an actual simple solution that you just need to have a conversation with the right person that can help you with that. So I think just your little story right there is already breathing some hope into some women out there that are going, maybe it's not as complicated and awful as I've imagined that it would be. Now, obviously, like you said, the whole issue can be very complex and very complicated. But one thing you're highlighting is the need to tell the story. So let's start there, because I feel like, you know, the question I wanted to ask is, okay, where do we start in terms of just like helping women, especially who are struggling with painful sex, whether it be physical or there's a lot of the emotional components of that. And I think you've already shared that a little bit in terms of, you've got to have a place to tell the story. You've got to have a place to talk about it. So how on earth does a woman out there find a place to talk about it?
Well, I do think we need to educate ourselves. And for women, that's why whenever I teach on sex to women, I always take a portion of the time and talk about sexual pain, because there's always, for a woman, it's the first time she ever had a name for what she was feeling. So I'm like, okay, sexual pain is called dyspareunia. And in under that are some categories. There's vaginismus, which is a spastic or constant clamping of the PC muscle. So for a woman, or a man, while you're peeing, when you clamp down the muscles and stop the flow of urine, those are your PC muscles. And in some women, they clamp down involuntarily. It's not something that you're consciously doing, and it makes penetration impossible. So you may not be able to insert a tampon, a finger, a penis. And oftentimes you don't even know you have this until you attempt intercourse. So it's not unusual for couples that have waited until their honeymoon to have intercourse to be like, it won't go in. And there is treatment for vaginismus, which is typically a series of graduated dilators that you use inside your vagina to help gradually stretch those muscles out. Well, for so many, I've talked to women that have literally been decades and never really consummated their marriage or pretended that he was actually penetrating them. And the penis was maybe only going in about an inch. And then they're faced with, okay, I've been lying to him and pretending this was pleasurable. for years.
Yeah.
And so now there's this whole thing of, I got to talk about actually, this has been going on. So that's where it can be helpful to not only have a doctor, maybe your OBGYN, a referral to a pelvic floor physical therapist, to a referral to a pelvic floor physical therapist is extremely helpful. They can help diagnose what is really going on here. Is it vaginismus? Is this some kind of vaginitis, which would be pain inside the vaginal barrel? Vulvodynia, which I always laugh, I'm from Kentucky. So to me, vulvodynia sounds like a nice Southern name from a girl. For a girl, like vulvodynia, get your lemonade, you know, on the veranda. But don't name your daughter vulvodynia. It means any pain outside the vagina. So anywhere on the vulva, the labia, that the outer and inner lips of the female genitalia. It can be a stinging, a stabbing, an itching, a burning, a pulling, any of that pain. And there are various reasons, different glands and whatnot that can have, it might be an infection. It could be treated with a cream. It could be treated with medication, possible surgery, all physical therapy. But there is treatment. But first, we need to have it accurately diagnosed. What mm-hmm. is going on here? And I just would encourage women to stop trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
And just treat it yourself, but actually go and get a good consultation.
Yeah. And now I would imagine, and you could probably speak to this with a lot more, authority. I would imagine that for many women, when sex is painful, when there's pain around sex emotionally and all that, that there might come a point where it's sort of like the only option they might feel is, let's just give up on this aspect of our relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, can you talk to a little bit about what is, like, how important is sex to the intimacy in a marriage relationship? And speak to that for just a little bit. Obviously we don't want to make sex an idol or make it an ultimate, but obviously by God's design, it's intentional and it's important and it's meant to be integrated, right? So can you talk about why sex is important for those who maybe have just said, we can just leave that out of our relationship, the idea of physical intimacy, and just go. And then maybe talk about how can you start to take steps towards healing in that part of your relationship, even if there may be still some physical elements that might prevent intercourse, but that doesn't necessarily mean that sexual intimacy and all that that means needs to be abandoned in your relationship.
Well, I'm always encouraging couples. Sex is so much more than a penis and a vagina.
Yeah.
And if that is what you think, like, that's it, that's what we do, that's what we're building up to, and if we can't do that, why even have sex? You know, you need to do that to have a baby, although there are now, you can have IVF, you can have other ways of getting pregnant, but the sexual intimacy, we have hands, we have mouths, we have entire bodies that can give and receive pleasure. And so being open to the idea of sexual intimacies, not necessarily it's got to be intercourse, because eventually the penis becomes, as you age, the penis becomes a less reliable visitor, and the vagina becomes a less hospitable place.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's great that along the way, we've had this very rich and full sex life that is more than just intercourse. And particularly if intercourse is painful, are there other things you can do while you're getting the painful intercourse treated? What else could you do? Some, whether that's manual stimulation, oral stimulation, caressing, things that help bring some eroticism into your relationship. So you don't just feel like roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this is like a saying in my field, which is that sex is in marriage, sex is like money, in that if both people feel like they have enough, then it's only about 10% of the marriage. But if one or both of them feel like they don't have enough, it feels like it's 90% of the marriage.
Yeah.
And so kind of thinking about, yes, it isn't, sex is not, there is no one thing that is the most important part of marriage. It's where are we at and what, where do we feel like we're not connected? It could be money. It could be sex. And we do know that when you're, when you are giving and receiving pleasure, husband and wife are, you've just got that storm of chemicals in your brain. Mm-hmm. The oxytocin that makes you feel more bonded, the dopamine that makes you feel pleasure, just the serotonin that makes you feel calmer and more relaxed and more easy. You can sleep more easily. The endorphins that take away pain. You know, I think God knew if a couple was going to stay together for 50 years, there would need to be drugs involved.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and so
they built them in.
They built them in. That is one of the things that sex does for us. Mm-hmm. Assuming both people are giving and receiving pleasure, is that it honestly can be like a glue that helps us stay together and to feel connected.
Yeah. One thing that I think doesn't get talked about in this area of building sexual intimacy, and especially when there's difficulty, there's pain, there's just the, also the brokenness that we bring in our lives into that relationship, is it's very rarely talked about of the necessity to grieve when these changes or difficulties or just pain points and suffering come into the relationship. Can you talk about grief as an avenue to building intimacy?
Oh, I love that question, Jonathan. Thank you for bringing that up. And, you know, here in America, we don't do grief. We are, you know, we kind of have that stiff upper lip. Don't cry. Whereas in other cultures, they will wail and grieve openly. They will grieve loudly as a community. And in America, we just want pain to go away. And so realizing, yes, we can both, two things can be true at the same time. We can be happy that we're working on our sex life and that we're seeing some improvement. And at the same time, we are very sad about the time that we have lost. And we are sad and mad that this was hard for us. And we're talking to our friends and it's not hard for them. And that feels like so unfair. And so being able to hold those, that's the thing about grief, is you're feeling multiple things at the same time. And so sometimes couples will feel like, you know, well, I can't tell you how sad I am about this because I don't want to make you feel guilty. You already feel bad that our sex life is not, is painful for me or isn't been what you wanted it to be. But being able to be that safe space for one another. And if you're, this is where sometimes you just need to see a counselor to talk privately with that counselor. If you feel like my spouse right now cannot hear my raw grief over this. They cannot hear my raw anger over this. I feel like I've been robbed. And even if, and not even necessarily that I feel like my spouse has robbed me, but I'm just mad at the world in general about this, or mad at God. And to have a space to express that anger, to express that grief, so that then at some point as a couple, you're able to grieve together. And, you know, you got to feel it to heal it. And if you're not willing to feel the grief, you can't go around grief. You can't go over it. You got to go through it.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that is where you have processed it. It becomes part of your story, but it no longer becomes the end of your story. We don't stay in the tomb, right? Yeah. As Christians, Jesus came out of the tomb. Mm-hmm. And we are to do that too, but there is definitely a Garden of Gethsemane time where we are mourning and we are sad and we are confused. And then if we're willing to feel that, then we can come out on the other side to, okay, what does it look like now? Yes, maybe we had 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years where sex was really just a hard place in our marriage. But that doesn't mean we can't now move into a new period where God has something that's better for us.
Yeah. And my next question, before we kind of land the plane here, is you answered it a little bit before, but I want to maybe get it just even more pointed on this is, you know, for couples who are experiencing this in their relationship where a woman's just having physically painful sex or they're just struggling with their sexual relationship, there's pain points in that. For those who are saying, we want to work on this, how would you frame what the ultimate goal is on that journey? You know, we touched on it. It can't be just the goal is to eventually have intercourse. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But if you were to paint the picture, like the hopeful like vision for the couple that's saying, we either haven't worked on this, we've tried, we've failed, and we just don't know what to do, but we want to really work on this. Can you give them sort of the bullseye or the target, or what's the long-term goal that you would want them to have that would might really increase their hope and even commitment to pursuing health in this area?
Well, I believe God created sex for couples for oneness, to draw us together. It is truly a celebration of God's covenant with mm-hmm. us, and this that he pursues us. Speaking of Julie Slattery here, Dr. Julie Slattery's work yeah. about looking at how sex can truly be this passionate celebration and a representation of the covenant that God has with us and of our marriage covenant. This is something that we only do with each other. Mm-hmm. And that when sex is good and connecting, then it is a little taste of heaven. Because, you know, in heaven, there's no sense of the passage of time. And here on earth, when you're having great sex, you achieve transcendence. You lose track of time, and you're ageless, just like in yeah. heaven. There will be no age. You just kind of lose, like you're not conscious anymore of how old you are. And then as well, you know, there's no crying in heaven. And so there's no pain. And mm-hmm. with really great sex, those endorphins are released. And so there's pain relief. So I think for a couple to understand God that planned it to help bring us to oneness, which can be hard to imagine when it has been a source of so much separateness mm-hmm. in a relationship. But for them to hold on to this idea that is, we are together working towards making this something that mind, body, and soul, we now feel connected, even more connected through this passionate celebration of our covenant with one yeah. another.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, Jennifer, this has been an excellent conversation. Where can our listeners to go to learn more about your work and just all the resources that you have for women and couples?
So they can go to jenniferdegler.com. So my last name is spelled D-E-G-L-E-R. So jenniferdegler.com. And there are resources there for them all about the ministry I have there for wives to help make their marriages sizzle.
That's great. Well, Jennifer, it's always a joy. Thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put some good info in the show notes to help you take your next best step. Thank you for being with us today. We know that this can be a difficult topic, but we hope that it's giving you a sense of courage and hope to take next steps in your relationship and to get the help that you need. Don't be silent on this topic. Like Jennifer was sharing, we've got to tell these stories. We need to get into safe places to work these things out. You might even have a super simple solution like Jennifer had in her own life, and we hope that for you. So reach out to us, and we'll see you back here next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.